We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
With the 21st pick in the NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select...
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Joe.
All right, Woody. Thank you, Kyle Krabs, Locked On Fins podcast. Been a busy, busy guy up there in the Northeast. Joins us this morning. Kyle, how you doing?
Is it Thursday night yet, Joe? How's it going?
No, man. I can't wait. You guys and everybody on TV's done a great job of hyping up what we're getting ready to watch, starting with that quarterback class. We'll talk about that in just a second. I want to get into something a little bit different take on this Dolphin stuff. To me, a couple of positions they're not going to take, or and when I say not, I might throw the seventh round in there too if they do take somebody. A tight end, a quarterback, cornerback, and inside linebacker. No shot. Yes or no? On outside of a seventh round pick, the rest of the picks they might have will not be one of those positions.
I wouldn't be too sure, and I don't know anything. I just know they've seemingly been tied in this pre-draft pretty closely to tight end Jatavion Sanders from Texas, for example. It is a good cornerback class. I think the big mystery for cornerback, and obviously Cam Smith is a presence that everybody's hoping takes a big step in year two. But with this secondary and moving Jalen Ramsey around, what does that look like? Who do you anticipate playing where? There's some special teams guys, the new special teams rules in general. I think you've seen the Dolphins go out and spend on a few players in free agency. They're like Cam Brown, the linebacker from the Giants. Designated special teams type of player, Saran Neal, from the Bills. So, you get fifth round pick, maybe you have a fourth round pick from a trade somewhere. I would be surprised if cornerback's on the table in that kind of regard. But I agree with you with off-ball linebacker. I think they've added a lot of juice to that room that they already didn't have last year with the new addition of Jordan Brooks and then Anthony Walker as well. So they're already plus one in the linebacker room. And then I do think any quarterback that they would draft would be a late round developmental guy.
Yeah.
So I agree about half those positions.
So the one that would surprise me the most is the one you said first, because I knew you were going to say that. So we go from zero production as far as touchdowns and at the tight end position to now – along with the guys you had a guy in Smith and Fortson to this group, and now you would add a rookie. It just doesn't make sense to me. With all the other needs and everything else, it doesn't make sense to me that all of a sudden after going into year three, he's going to put this high priority on the tight end position.
I'm inclined to agree with you. And I think you are putting yourself at a little bit of a disservice for if you only keep the two top 100 picks, right? If you only pick a 21 and 55, I'd be kind of underwhelmed with a tight end being one of those spots, because the name that they've been linked to, Sanders, I think would be behind Jonnu Smith as a rookie. And you'd love to get meaningful snap takers in both of those spots. I think the big question for Miami coming into year three of this offense is, are they going to be more of a 12 personnel team? If they're going to be more of a 12 personnel team and have two tight ends on the field with regularity, and if that is their answer to some of the challenges that they have been presented with beyond the top two guys in pass catchers, then I think maybe there is an argument to be had that there's room for another seat at the table.
Yeah.
But that would indicate to me some pretty significant personnel changes in the tendencies of what this team is that I think maybe we aren't expecting because of what it has looked like the first two seasons.
I've been surprised, by the way, if we're just talking about snaps, how much Durham Smythe and Julian Hill played together. I really was. I guess specifically Julian Hill, what do you see for him in year two, the rookie free agent, and does he play even more than he did last year, or could he be in trouble?
I think that's kind of the subplot here. As you go back to the first year, it was Tanner Connor was their undrafted free agent, developmental type tight end. And then year two, it's Julian Hill, and he supersedes Tanner Connor, who ends up playing on the practice squad. So they've kind of been like hacking away at trying to find somebody for cheap. And if they come back to the well, I don't think that bodes particularly well for any of the developmental projects, be it Tanner Connor or Julian Hill, to have a more prominent role. And I already think Jonnu Smith is kind of one strike against those guys. So yeah. I think that's as we've kind of gone through, I've kind of got the sense they've been trying to get an athletic pass catcher type to hit the hard way. And if they've decided they've had enough, they've already shown that they've had enough because they signed a guy in free agency in Jonnu Smith. But I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think there's other position groups I'd rather see them invest in, but I'm just saying I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if that's the direction they want to take the offense.
21st pick. I went from just take the damn best player. And honestly, I don't really care. I mean, you got to have guys that can come in and play at some point fairly early, whoever you draft, whether even if a first-round pick ends up being a second and a third-round pick, we need some guys that can come in and help, especially at the end of the season when everybody's banged up. We have to have some guys that can play. What's your gut feeling on what happens with that 21st pick?
I look at who's going to, or who is expected, I should say, to be available. And it doesn't sound like they're going to get a favorable bake with the offensive line. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of action between 10 and 20 in those spots. Pittsburgh's apparently really rumored to like even Graham Barton, who's been kind of like the de facto in mock drafts. It's like, oh, all the Fulaga and Fatanu and Fashanu and Joe Walt, they all went off the board. We'll put the Dolphins with Graham Barton, who's played tackle but can play inside and play all these spots. I don't even know that he's going to make it. So I think the value for Miami's probably going to be on the defensive line, whether that's an inside guy or an outside guy. I think that's where you're going to find, in all likelihood, unless an offensive lineman slips for whatever reason, and that could very easily happen if you get a fifth quarterback that goes in the top 20. So that's something I think every Dolphins fan should be rooting for, is get that extra quarterback to go in there, because the domino effect is you're going to get somebody kicked back in your lap that's going to be really, really good. I think you're going to have a couple guys that are really, really good, but I just think you're going to be defensive linemen are going to be where the value's at when you come on the board at 21.
Hey, Kyle, so I see these two names pop up, and if they were both there, and I told you had to pick one, I'm just curious. So this has been going on for a while. Jackson Powers Johnson, center guard out of Oregon, and Graham Barton, who you just mentioned, it's played all these different positions, and we know flexibility is a big thing with these guys. Which guy would you like more if they stayed at 21 and they were both still on the board?
I would pick Barton, and the reason why is Barton has tackle flexibility long-term, where Jackson Powers Johnson does not. I think both of those guys would be starting guards for you in year one. I think JPJ can play guard or can play center. But Barton, I think he's probably better inside, but he's got several years worth of tape in the ACC playing tackle. And I thought his 2022 tape was his best tape there. So I would take the guy that has the positional value to potentially play outside.
Yeah, so you feel he can come in and play right away, like he can sign a contract and within a couple of days he can line up with the ones in a huddle?
I would not expect him to not be amongst the top five options that you have for a combination of starting five offensive linemen in some capacity, yeah.
Yeah, wow, okay. Hey, so all this yap that's going on at the quarterback position, and I'm not talking about drafting a quarterback like Omar was in the first round with Tua. No, I'm talking about these guys. Jaden Daniels' name all of a sudden. Unnamed source is saying Jaden Daniels could be the best quarterback in this draft or clearly is the best quarterback in this draft. Do you buy that?
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody authentically believed that because of the athletic ability, but I would say we do this just about every year in early April, whether it's Drew Locke or Will Levis or you go right down the line and there's guys that are not the top quarterback predictively. And I don't think it's a coincidence that all the sports books did the musical chairs with the number two overall pick odds in the past 5 days, where it was Drake May's turn and then it was Jaden Daniels' turn and then it was J.J. McCarthy's turn, and now magically it's back to Jaden Daniels' turn all over again. So it's like, I think this time of year, it really underlies that the draft is probably about 2 weeks too late because you just get to that certain point in the process. And it's like, all right, we're out of stuff to talk about. But I would not be surprised if this time of year those kinds of conversations are either a scout or if they an individual scout who has a right to his own opinion, or otherwise it's from maybe the agency side of things where maybe they're trying to skew the public narrative about a player to try to influence draft stock.
If there's one quarterback that drops, and I'm going to put Bo Nix with that group too, that we're going to go, wow, because it seems like every year there's one quarterback that not only drops, but we keep waiting, and TV's got him, Mel Kiper's got him as his next guy, the best players left, and the guy kind of sticks around. Who would that guy most likely be at quarterback? Would it be Bo Nix?
I think it's either Bo or Michael Penix. I think the mystery for Penix is he's been linked to the Raiders kind of continuously. Do they get kind of gun shy and do they not feel like we can get greedy and get him later and they pick at 13? And do they pick him at 13 or do they pick best player available and then try to come back and potentially trade up into the second round or back up into the first round for him again? So I think that's the roadmap, I think, for Penix. And then it does kind of sound like the Giants are maybe the dark horse quarterback team picking at 6, where they could really throw a wrench in the plans of, say, Minnesota, who's sitting at 11, or Denver, who's sitting at 12, as teams that are potentially coming up, because the Giants' sales pitch is, okay, you can trade with us and you go back 2 spots, or you go back 1 spot, and you could still get a star player in this class instead of going out of the top 10 altogether. And if that happens, I think that maybe kicks one of those quarterbacks back up. But if it kind of goes the way we expect and Minnesota gets the fourth quarterback, then I think both of those quarterbacks, Nix and Penix, might be in for a little bit of a wait.
So let's talk about this quarterback. We know the Bears are going to take a quarterback with the first pick, and the Commanders most likely. Patriots need a guy. Vikings, you mentioned. The Broncos aren't really going to go Zach Wilson and Jarrett Stidham play for a starting position. They got to be looking to upgrade that position, yes or not yet?
It sounds like they're really enthralled by J.J. McCarthy. The problem is they have the least amount of draft capital in the bidding war to get a pick for him. So whether that's the Giants or whether that's the Vikings, I think those two teams being at 6 and then being at 11 but also having another first-round pick, well, Minnesota preemptively traded up into the first round for a second first-round pick for Houston, and the understanding was they're loading up on ammunition for a quarterback. Well, the Broncos, they have 12. They don't have a second-round pick as things currently stand. So they're kind of – they're outgunned in just about every way. I would not be surprised if they were one of the teams that found a way to catch a quarterback falling out of the first round in some way, shape, or form, just because they do need more competition at that spot. And you're kind of really limited after the six names that we've talked about. The only other guy that probably gets any kind of starting consideration anytime early in his career is Spencer Rattler out of South Carolina.
Yeah. No, there's Spencer Rattler's a really interesting one. You know, he was a starter there in Oklahoma. Wasn't Caleb Williams like his backup there for a cup of coffee? And all of a sudden, Caleb Williams takes over. And they were even talking about Rattler being a first-round pick back then, and he had to transfer. And, of course, they end up both leaving. Crazy, crazy.
It was about 2 years ago where Spencer started the first half of the season, and then Caleb came in the rivalry game against Texas, I believe it was, and never looked back. But, you know, Spencer came into that season kind of top 10 overall kind of buzz. There's no question about the arm talent. I think it's just the gunslinger mentality and the decision-making with him is probably going to have him as a day two guy. But I know teams are probably going to look at just his ability to throw the ball and say, hey, this is going to be a guy worth taking the shot on if we strike out on the early guys.
Hey, I leave you with this just because it's been brought up. And would you be surprised if the Dolphins, if they do get a third round pick with 1, 2, or 3, took a safety? Would that surprise you at all, a young safety?
No, I think day two is kind of the sweet spot for safeties in this year's class. There's a couple of guys, be it Taylor Demerson from Texas Tech or Kitan Oladapo from Oregon State, guys that are really versatile and they can tackle and they're explosive and they're long. I think guys like that would be kind of a nice complement to Jordan Poyer. If they end up having one best player available with their pick in the second round, I would guess it would probably be Javon Bullard from Georgia. I think he's somebody who would really benefit from an understudy of Jordan Poyer as kind of a guy who's not the biggest guy, and then maybe a long-term successor there. But I would not take that off the table at all because I think third safety is one of the top 3-4 needs just from a looking at the depth chart standpoint for Miami.
Yeah, I'm with you. Cam Kitchens, you didn't mention him from Miami, University of Miami. You like him or no?
It's a weird mix. I love the ball skills. I love the instincts and coverage, but I know he ran better at his pro day, but he didn't test well. And the tackling's kind of being an issue there. So I think he probably excels in center field as a single high safety. I think that kind of goes away from the trends of the league, and that's why the safety position's kind of become as devalued as it has been because everybody's just running split safeties to limit explosive plays. And that Ed Reed style of play is a dying breed. The teams don't really run a lot of that for the structure of the defense and what they're trying to dictate to offenses. So I just think Cam, I think he'd have really helped himself if he tested better and ran better. I think teams are going to have a lot of concerns with that, but there's no question the ball skills and the instincts are there in coverage. So I just don't know how the league's going to react to that full resume that he's been able to put on this offseason.
Kyle, thank you, man. I can't wait. We'll talk this weekend. I'm dying to find out what you think after the draft. I appreciate you coming on, bud. Thanks.
Sounds great, Joe. Thanks.
Kyle Krabs, Locked On Fins podcast. Join us, talk a little bit about the craziness of what could happen in this NFL draft. All right, tell you something. There's some great work being done in Dade County. Can't talk enough about Chapman Partnership and the great work. It is so fun to be involved in a group. And when you're involved with Chapman Partnership, you see the people. And I want to mention Bam Adebayo and the work he's done for Chapman Partnership. Sometimes athletes do stuff, and we just kind of pass it by and go, well, he's got a lot of money. I mean, you got to do it with something. Listen, that guy, we really appreciate it. And the Miami Heat, the amount of money and their efforts behind it too, along with all these people. And by the way, all the doctors that donate their time for the homeless at Chapman Partnership, you know, I never get to talk about this stuff. And people ask me, I go, listen, it is a place for the homeless, but it's not your normal grab a bite to eat, grab a nap and hit the streets all day. No. It's totally about rehabilitation, changing lives daily in our community by going beyond shelter and providing caring support and wraparound services that offer effective cradle to career programs. Find them a place to live, help them find a job, get self-esteem back, and help them with all the problems they've had. And mental health's part of it. It is part of it, especially with the homeless. And we have all these doctors that come in and donate their time and help, and all these great people have been successful getting behind Chapman Partnership. And we still need your help, man. We still need your help because this thing and this problem of homeless is getting bigger. Chapman is there to take care of them. They prepare and serve 3 meals a day to 800 men, women, and children at their Miami and Homestead Center. 800,000 meals annually, close to $1 million in operating costs. So please, if you can, you want to donate your time and money or one or the other, man, we appreciate it so much. Join me at WQAM as we continue to make it even bigger and better at Chapman Partnership and help these families get back together. Give them a second chance. Go online to chapmanpartnership.org/sponsor a meal. That's chapmanpartnership.org/sponsor a meal to sponsor a meal and sign up today to serve. Be great if you see it. We know you're going to want to be part of it because it makes you feel good because you're doing the right thing. Just a little bit can change a life today. Be
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Part of Chapman Village. Thank you. All right. Welcome back, and good morning to everybody out there. I want to thank Kyle Kraft for being with us. My man Ron Rothstein is going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock. Spo, what can he do? What can he do with his best player out? How'd he get Tyler going? You know, he talked about that. I know we beat that up a little bit yesterday. Tyler Hero's, we can't be talking, can we, about Tyler Hero not having a pretty significant improvement in his game, 25 plus points to have a chance to win. Don't you believe? He's a pretty good one-on-one player. He can create his own shot a little bit. But Spo talked about doing some things to get him better shots, better quality shots, get him the ball more. And listen, Spo's pretty creative on stuff. And listen, I don't expect Boston to come out and shoot the way they did in that first game from three-point land. So we'll see. Anyway, Ronald, we'll talk about him and get into some of the stuff. By the way, the games last night. If you're just an NBA junkie, you got two great games last night. Now, you had to be able to stay up, but if you turned off for some reason, the Lakers up 20 against Denver, you missed what happened at the end of the game. Denver came back and won at the end, and, of course, the other game, Knicks in Philly. I mean, 76ers up 101-96 with 47 seconds left and lost that game. Just incredible games last night. Two tight ball games that a lot of people will be talking about today, for sure.
So LeBron got after the officials too, by the way. I know that was our late game yesterday, but he was complaining about, you know, why do you guys have a replay center if you're not going to use it? It's just it really is amazing, man. These guys, they just continue to blame officials.
There's a lot more wine and cheese going on. There's no question about it, Woody. I
feel like you can complain all they want, man. You got inbound the ball at the end of the game. You have to execute that play. You're right. You said that earlier. Get a rebound. Yes, that would have helped. But all you got to do, Joe, is inbound the basketball. Go down, hit a couple free throws. Game's over.
We do have a lot of guys that are complaining about officiating. I know it's been going on forever since I've been doing radio and growing up. I've listened. Everybody that follows their team feels their team gets screwed a lot. My father hit me with this one at 90 years old the other day. He says, you see these guys getting these calls in the NBA? I go, yeah, it's been going on forever. I think it does take place where really good players get the benefit of the doubt and get calls. And I said, but it's nothing new, because he was talking about, yeah, they whine and they get all the calls. And I didn't know where he's going. I thought he was going to go with LeBron James. He went with Luka Doncic, and he is. Listen, you want to talk about a guy that whines? I think he's president of the club right now, the wine club. Do you agree? Have you seen
that
guy?
He's pretty close.
Oh, Lord, is he a – he's a,
so, to me, the person that whines the most, like – and they're not a big star, is Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry is so unpleasant to watch play. And I know it wasn't okay to say that while he was here, but now that he's not here anymore, he is the by far and away the most unpleasant player to watch. I mean, he fakes contact. He cries after every single whistle, just goes bonkers. He to me is on, really high up on that list, man. I know he's not a star or anything, but
so let's talk about the big fish. Does LeBron complain a little bit?
Oh, yeah. LeBron throws his weight around. By the way, LeBron gets those MJ calls now. I don't know if you've noticed that, but he gets a lot of calls.
I was just trying to think of some of the
so plays. He's got no right to be complaining either, man, because they really help LeBron out with those calls.
You think the great players do get the benefit of the doubt, though, on calls?
I think LeBron does.
Yeah.
But yes, I do think, hey, that's okay. Like, that's how the game is, man.
It's
but look, everyone makes mistakes. It's part of the game. The coaches make mistakes, the players make mistakes.
So why do we always go? They do, but we go to officials. Like, officials is such an easy way to go for everybody.
Because nobody wants to look back at the plays that they should have made in the game and be like, oh, yeah, you know what? Hey, if we inbound the ball successfully and we make two free throws, the game is over. They don't want to do that. They just want to blame the officials because they didn't see the coach trying to call a timeout, or they thought the guy was fouled or whatever. And that's the easier thing to do, right?
Well, it's not just a basketball thing. We've got that going on.
Well, the other thing in the NFL, I think some of those plays that you talk about are certainly more impactful.
Yeah, but
like that pass interference that you were talking about with that Chiefs game, like that is certainly a more impactful play.
Yeah. But I got to tell you, I give you another one I was thinking of. I'm watching a TV at the end of the season for the Panthers, and Goldie comes out, and it was getting lopsided in power plays. And he and Randy made it a point, like, this is getting real bad. We talked to Coach Maurice about that a little bit. And, I mean, he's not going to say anything about it, but so those guys think, hey, we can't get calls, and all the calls are all the power plays going against the team. It's gotten real lopsided. So
do you think it's in the back of people's minds that there's a lot of gambling going on, a lot of money changing hands?
I know you think that
way. Well, Joe, you had Shohei Ohtani wrapped up in something. You had this guy, Jontay Porter, clearly wrapped up in something. Because the players can do it, the officials have done it. And I'm not saying they are. I don't believe that. I think those guys want to do as good of a job as they can and go home. And those guys last night, by the way, in that, I think it was the Sixer game, they said those guys had like tons and tons of experience. They were talking about them before the game.
They have
how
the best,
great of a crew it was. And
well,
all
they
that,
have
so.
The best crews in every sport.
But
I do know this.
Don't
the
you
guys
think that
are great out the highest
mind,
get
though?
To do what?
You know, does it creep in your mind a little bit, though?
No.
The fact that there's a lot of money changing hands. Like, if you watch that Sixer game last
you?
Night.
What happened? You stopped gambling.
You
seriously.
But you could have made the case that
Jesus,
Tobias Harris was point shaving last night. Tobias Harris looks like he's actively trying to cost his team to wins. I'm sure he's
Tobias not very good.
Oh, he's got a max contract.
Guy shrink. Yeah, that's Jimmy Butler. We got to take one or the other, and
he is outrageously bad. But again, you could make the case that Tobias Harris is out there point shaving.
Get out of here.
I text my buddies on Zango, this guy should be investigated.
So every guy that plays poorly in a game.
He's played poorly every game. He can't be
Brunson
that bad.
Brunson hadn't played his best basketball, and even though the Knicks have won their first tour, you're going to accuse that guy the way he plays it.
No, but Tobias Harris for a max
player looks
like he is actively.
You sound like you have a gambling problem. I'm dead serious.
I do have a gambling problem, but that's
you
not.
You do. You seriously. I swear to God, I'm going to call your wife after the show.
Don't tell her, bro. Don't do that. That breaks the man code.
You're talking about gambling like the fix is in.
I'm not saying the fix is in. I'm just
saying
when I think that creeps into people's minds now because there's been a lot of stories of guys getting caught up in it now.
Oh, my God. I watch games.
Bro, they come back from commercial break, and they go, here's the live line on tonight's game brought to you by FanDuel.
I get it. I understand that. By the way, I did notice ESPN's the worst. They go from one show right into gambling.
Well, ESPN's got a partnership with it. They have ESPN Bet.
They throw the gambling in your face. They're not. And then I think they put that little message, if you have a gambling problem, stay away.
And by the way, as much as I like the TNT
thing. Here's a great
point
spread for you. We like this one tonight.
They put Barkley and Kenny Smith on that little window on the side.
Yes,
and they give their picks.
Right, when the game starts.
And then Barkley gives a parlay of the night.
I guarantee it, he says.
Which,
yes.
By the way, I took the other night and did not cash, but.
Woody, you don't really believe now. Is this where we're going? Now I got to ask everybody out there. Every time you see a bad call at the end of the game or somebody having a bad game, you think they're in with some guy that's tossing down, has been promised a piece of the action? Come on, come on, man.
I don't believe that with the officials. No, I do not.
Well,
but Tobias Harris is very questionable.
First of all, it makes no sense. The guy's making a ton of money. He's not some minimum wage guy. I'll get out of here. Lose it, go to jail, get kicked out of the league. I don't know, man. I just don't. I'm not.
He may do it in a more discreet way than Jontay Porter, who was just had his own DraftKings account.
He falls under dumbass. Yeah.
We had guys in the NFL get suspended for it, a bunch of guys.
Yeah, 8 or 10, exactly. Matter of fact, I saw I think most of them got in the other day. He signed off on, all right, your year's up, you're back. But if it happens again, I see he changed his policy, you're out for good. They catch people gambling in the NFL.
I don't think you're going to start hearing less and less of these stories, Joe. I think this is probably
It's only
the
because you gamble.
It.
You and your gamble heads out
There's
there.
Nothing to do with that.
It does because I didn't think about it. I don't watch games and go, that was a bad call.
I bet very small amounts for entertainment purposes only. I honestly don't really care that much. I'm just telling you that I think that there has been a lot of stories that have come out about this issue, and I don't know that it's going to stop anytime soon.
Why don't you bring up Pete Rose? Matt about the way the Shohei, really?
Did you see what Pete Rose signed on a baseball the other day?
No.
Signed something about Shohei Ohtani and his gambling.
Yeah, no, I saw that coming. I saw Uncle Pete was getting ready to get serious about that one. He wasn't real happy. All right, we got to go to break.
Back in, man?
Huh?
Does Pete deserve to be back in?
Yes, 100%. 100%. And what are they going to do? Let him in when he finally dies and let his kids or grandkids...
Well, that's what they usually do, right? And they say nice things about people after they go.
They say nice things about the way he played the game. Yeah.
So Pete signed a couple of baseballs. He was at an autograph thing, and he said, sorry, I bet on baseball, and he signs his name. And then he signs on another baseball, Ohtani is sorry also, and then he signs his name.
That's Pete. If you know Pete Rose, that's so Pete Rose. That is so Pete.
Apparently he also signed a baseball that says, I wish I had an interpreter. By the way, those are cool baseballs. Talk about memorabilia.
Oh, man.
Not be bad to add to the collection.
All right. Let's stop. All right. I'll bet you can't stop right now. All right. Hey, listen, we've got a lot more to get to. We got some serious stuff. I'll tell you what. You want to talk about a passionate guy that's getting ready for the draft right now? Harvey Cohen. Yeah. Gary Juden. And Harvey, I'm waiting. Harvey, man, I'm waiting for that call because I need to know who you're going to take. Hey, Dolphin fans, you want to talk about a guy that's really passionate and grew up a hardcore Dolphin fan and all those memories going back with he and his father together and at the games and all the stuff. Boy, it's so fun. And my good friend, listen, I want to let you know I'm not attorney for the firm before I start talking about the injury law firm of Cohen and Judah in Plantation covering all of South Florida. You walk through that door, you shake their hand, and you go, all right, who's going to represent us? And they go, we are. Oh, no, we take it from start to finish, man. You signed on with us. We're going to do it. I'm talking about big results, excellent client reviews. Yes, they're trial lawyers. Check them out. Go to CohenandJudah.com. It's so funny. I say nice things about them. I talk about them all the time. And Harvey always says, listen, Joe, 33 years of experience. And big results and everything else, but we really want people to go to our website. We think it's just, it says it all. So I tell everybody, go to CohenandJudah.com. And I just want to say this, if you're unhappy clients right now and you want to talk about broken promises that you've already dealt with, you've been injured in an accident, you hired a law firm that makes promises they just haven't been able to keep. Matter of fact, they don't even communicate to you. Well, you're not alone. This is going on all over South Florida. And if you're out there right now and frustrated, make the change. Call Cohen and Judah or look them up and call them. It's free for a second opinion on your injury case. And Harvey and Gary will give it to you straight. Lots of experience, really good. Those two guys kick butt, man. They are so good. Wait till you see the reviews, what people are saying. They're great. And they can handle your case, again, from start to finish with a handshake. And you are off and running with guys that are really good to care about you. A big part of South Florida, 866-FAIR-FEE. That's 866-324-7333. Better yet, go to CohenandJudah.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, let's get you some weather. Brought to you by the Demesman and Dover Law from youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. It is 73 degrees, a 3% chance of rain. Now, we did get some rain yesterday, Joe, but things looking a little better out there today.
Woody, thank you, man.
You're welcome.
And I appreciate it. I'll bet you didn't think.
What?
No. Everything's with a bet. You know, you've gotten really bad with this, though, man. No, you've gotten really bad. I'm just telling you. I'm going to tell you off the air. You're getting really bad.
That's
with
fine.
Every time something happens,
you must admit,
got gambling.
You must
it's
admit
everywhere.
That
it's embarrassing.
Hard.
Yes.
It's hard to stay away from. Like, I try to watch a game, and I don't like to live bet during a game because I think live betting during the games can be a very slippery slope.
Correct.
But with that being said, when they got Barkley and Kenny Smith pop on the screen and they go, this is my pick for the game and this is, you know, whatever.
You see,
and this
ESPN
is, by the way, in the game,
shows?
Not before the game. And then they do the live line throughout the game and it's like, man, it's
you see what ESPN? ESPN does one step. They have a football or basketball show and then it goes to their 30-minute gambling show.
Yeah. Well, apparently
they
do,
bring
like,
in
live
the girl,
lines
the,
during
the
those
real pretty girl that's there and she starts and I went, wow, thank
Well, makes it even more attractive.
Yeah, better,
there,
yeah, of
Joe,
course.
With a, you know, good-looking girl. But they even have, like, that XFL thing or whatever they're doing. I know they put the live lines on during the game, like on the bottom of the screen.
I haven't seen that, but I'm not surprised, Woody. It's everywhere. So now that it's out there and everybody's taking their money and it's lots of it, you know, the NFL, the ones that weren't going to have anything to do with Vegas and gambling, they thought it was going to be a problem. Well, you got your problem. Good luck. Try to police it along with everybody else. But Woody, man, it's so I don't think I truly don't when I see a bad call go, huh, gambling show. Yeah. Great. Way to go. Now is that guy on the I don't do that. I don't do it with officials. I don't do it with guys that play poorly. I don't. Guys, by the way, if we were to go through guys that played poorly in the playoffs last year, we'd be calling a lot of guys into the commissioner's office because there was a bunch bunch of good players choked in big games.
I'm
had
just
some
saying,
really ugly ones.
It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to just launch an investigation into Tobias Harris.
Yeah, will you
just
stop?
See what's going on over
He's
there.
Bad a lot.
I know. He is consistently bad.
Isn't Tobias Harris the reason that they had to give somebody the max and they decided to give it to him instead of Jimmy? Boy, was that stupid.
That was not a good decision. He sucks. By the way, every time he plays, he trends on Twitter because he's so unbelievably bad.
Yeah, I think I was watching the other day. He threw up an air ball. Yeah, no, he's.
What is he? Is he point shaving?
No, he's just not good. He's just hadn't been good since he got the contract.
Fair enough.
The big one.
Someone wants to know how the weather is in Sacramento.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Nice. No humidity. When I got up this morning, low 50s. Light jacket. By the way, when it rains here, it's kind of cool. An hour and a half up the road, it snows. That would be called Sacramento to Lake Tahoe. So
what's the drawback? Don't you guys got earthquakes and fires and stuff, right?
Yeah. No, there's a lot. there's a lot of issues in this state. Oh, no, this state's got lots of it, but we're just talking about the northern part of the state. And
do you guys get the quakes up there, or is that just like southern?
Oh, no, we get them too.
You ever been in one of those?
I did. I told you at Berkeley, I got hit with some fives and sixes.
Are those bad?
Yeah, when they shake, it scares the crap out of you. You know who's got the great story? Jimmy Seffel is working for NBC as a national guy, and he's doing the pregame. He's doing that. Do you remember when the Oakland A's played the San Francisco Giants in the World Series?
Yeah, I've seen the video from that one, yes.
And Jimmy's out in the middle.
He was there?
He got caught. He went from being an announcer to being a reporter for that place is shaking. And he's in the middle of Candlestick Park because it was Candlestick Park. And he was talking about just, you know, again, it was the year of the A's and the Giants played each other with all the stars from what? Was that Jose Canseco, I believe, was on that team as well as Barry Bonds on the other team. And they got hit with the big one and some of those bridges collapsed. The swing in the East Bay was swinging. No, it was serious, but part of some of the freeway collapsed in the East Bay. It was really bad. People got crushed. So that was the worst one, and my buddy, who's an East Coast guy, Jimmy's in the middle of it. It was crazy. I don't remember. Anybody remember, did they finish that World Series, or did they just – I guess they did because the A's won the championship. That was crazy. What a crazy story. Anyway, hey, from that, I don't know why you always ask me something about the history of something to do with California.
Yeah, you know, you got Coach Rothstein coming on next. Why don't you ask him what he thinks of all these guys constantly complaining about officials?
I will, because I think it's been going on. I think the whining has been going on for a long time. Well, you think the old school guys didn't whine?
Huh? Did MJ whine? I don't know. You tell me.
Well, ask him. Matter of fact, that is a fair question to ask him. When we come back. So stay with us. We'll be back with Ron Rothstein to talk about the Miami Heat after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.